The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com. Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is episode 76. I am Rich.
And I am Scott.
And today we're going to be covering all things and latest and greatest of RPG-related news. And later, we'll convene the RPG Club to discuss the fourth section of the SNES classic, Secret of Mana.
Gonna be fun.
Yeah. So before we hit the news, let's catch up a little bit.
It's been all
right,
a couple
Scott,
weeks, right?
Kick us off today with your massive list. Yeah, it's been a bit.
So now that I've been settled more into the new digs, things are starting to get back to normal. Nature is healing. I'm playing too many games at once. Although this is still shorter than the list has been in the past at certain points. But anyway, of course, we've been playing Secret of Mana. We'll talk about that in more detail later. Still hitting the grind in FF2. I just got out of the Leviathan dungeon. And so now I have to go do the bonus dungeons for Ricard and Maria. Haven't started that yet, but I'm hoping to get some time in with that either today or sometime this week. Because I'd like to get back to streaming it and then, you know, make progress and finish the damn game. The current Golden Years game is Live Alive, or I've been told it's actually pronounced Live Alive recently, so I don't know.
That seems weird.
Yeah, I mean,
Live.
No matter what, it doesn't make sense, no matter how you pronounce it. But the one that makes the most sense to me is Live Alive. But anyway,
is this game the one that's the Persona, like,
basically, it never came to America. Mm-hmm. We're playing a fan translation, or a fanslation, as I like to say. There's like seven different scenarios, and so you play. They're all like an hour and a half, 2 hours or so. It's like in one scenario you're a ninja, and one scenario you're a cowboy, and another you're a caveman. That's the one I just finished. And they vary wildly in like kind of how they you got the same battle system across all of them, but as far as like the type of story it tells and the gameplay outside of battles, it's pretty different across all the scenarios. For me, each scenario has been like kind of hit or miss. Like some of them have been fun, and then there has been a couple where I was like, I just didn't like it at all. But we only got one main scenario left because we're all trying to like play Bill and Tisa and Angry Ass Black Dude and JS, we're all trying to like, and Frost, I think, we're all trying to like play close to the same scenarios at the same time, kind of like the RPG Club. So we got one main scenario left, and then there's two or three like ending scenarios you got to get through after that. So we're getting there. I did make note that like, when Scott actually plays the Golden Years games along with Bill, they actually get done somehow. So
I feel like it's a jab at me, but okay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Hey, at least the Golden Year or the club games I play.
Yeah, we'd have to kick you off the show if you didn't do that.
Yeah, at least.
Also been playing Metroid Zero Mission, which that's like one of the only mainline Metroid games that I haven't played before. Enjoying it. I think I'm close to done with that too. Just getting hyped for Metroid Dread. I'm so excited for that game. It's been a while since I've been this hyped for a game release. I can't remember the last time. Maybe Kingdom Hearts 3 or... I guess 7 Remake came out after KH3, huh?
Yeah. Probably
most hyped since 7 Remake. But anyway, I'm a big Metroid fan. Corey's been playing Paper Mario Color Splash. Not much to say about that. He's like maybe a halfway through, maybe somewhere between a third and a half. It's a long game for a Mario, even a Mario RPG. But anyway. And Pokemon Sword Crown Tundra. I'm at the part where you have to catch the 3 Galarian legendary birds. And, well, I actually did do that, but Galarian Articuno had me wanting to quit. I was like, fuck this game.
Just the way I haven't played those yet.
They're fun. I've heard a lot of people say that the DLC saved Pokemon Sword and Shield for them. And I'm like, I don't know about all that.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Pokemon Sword and Shield in general. I don't think they're amazing testaments of great video games or anything. But we'll talk about Pokemon a little more later.
Yes, we will.
And then finally, I don't think I announced this last time I saw you. Since then, we have beaten Metal Gear Solid 4.
Nice.
It was I liked it. I liked it pretty good. I don't think the Metal Gear games have great gameplay in general, but of the main series that I played so far, this one had like the biggest. It was the most tight, I would say, and the story like really wrapped up, ended the arcs of all these characters that I've grown to know and love over the years. So it's really cool. I'm glad I finally got to play it.
And you're a big fan of Metal Gear Solid, aren't you?
I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but I like the story a lot.
Okay.
And this one in particular, so Metal Gear Solid 3 was about like Snake's, the guy Snake was cloned off of, Big Boss. So it was kind of like a prologue or like a prequel kind of.
Okay.
And this one like went back to all the characters that were introduced in Metal Gear Solid 1, which is I care more about that, those characters. So it was just, and it still brought in like characters from 3 as well. So it was just really cool. And I thought it was had a pretty satisfying ending overall, even if the ending was over an hour long.
Did you know they're making a movie?
I've heard that before. Is that like actually like happening or?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully it's not in development hell or anything. That'd be
probably.
Cool. Yeah. But that's it for me. What about you, dude?
Secret of Mana. That's really it. Oh, wait. I've been playing, like I said, I've been doing the Secret of Mana stuff. Had a lot of ground to make up for the last 2 checkpoints. And I've also played a little bit of Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, really?
The first one. Not too much. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's really it.
Have we talked about on the show the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 rumors?
No, we missed that.
Oh.
And that just recently came out.
Yeah. So we'll... Well, let's just talk about it now, since we're here talking about it. Apparently, there's a rumor that's been pretty well substantiated that they are working on Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and we will hear about it soon, apparently.
Yeah,
it's actually
and they're like almost done with it.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's how true that is, but apparently it's the news is on the up and up as far as the sources for it. That's really cool. And I've also, I remember how it got leaked. It was like the voice actress for Melia, who's one of the main characters in Xenoblade Chronicles 1, like confirmed that she was working on it or something. But it was like an accident. Like she wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah. A little slip.
Yeah. It's just sad because she's a really good voice actress or talented voice actress. But hopefully she didn't get in too much trouble for that.
Probably not.
Yeah. So I guess that confirms that they'll be bringing back characters from the first one, which is cool. I haven't played 2. I do want to get to that at some point. Cause I've heard it's really good. I think we heard some mixed opinions from Jay back when he was on the show and playing it.
Yeah. I think he liked it and he didn't like it. There was a lot of stuff that bugged him, but there's a story that was good.
Yeah. But I've heard it's also like really hard to get now. Like it's a rare game. Like you got to pay a lot for it, or extra.
What, for Chronicles?
Chronicles 2. Well, if you want it physical anyway. I mean, you could always buy it digital, but...
Yeah, physical's a little hard to get a hold of. Like, I had to buy it download. I downloaded that thing a long time ago.
All right. Well, GameStop employee, if you ever see a copy fly through, go ahead and snag it for me.
I'll try.
I doubt you'll see it in GameStop, though.
No.
But yeah, I don't know if there's too much else to say about that, but that's really cool that they're making a third one, and it's really cool that Nintendo actually values that franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, going back years and years ago, it was like a huge campaign to get that game translated for the West.
Yeah.
On the Wii.
It's a Monolith game, which they own Monolith Studios, right? Nintendo does?
I believe so. Either that or they work really close. It has to be, because I think Shulk is considered like a first-party character, so yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just crazy to me. Playing Xenoblade Chronicles 1 now, I mean, I finished it, you know, sometime last year or early this year or something. I can't believe that game almost didn't come to the West as, like, huge and massive as it is, and how incredible the story was, you know? It's just, that's crazy to me.
I'm surprised it actually came onto a 3DS.
That's crazy, too. I've heard it didn't run that well, but...
Yeah.
No, it's no surprise there. But, yeah, that's all I've been playing, and, well, all you've been playing as well.
Yeah.
Anything else interesting going on we want to share with the people?
Remodels of a house.
Nice.
Suck.
I'm enjoying the Florida life on my end. So that's about it.
You get a beach. I get construction.
Went to the beach yesterday. It was crazy. I mean, not crazy. It was great. So the RPG Club, we sort of alluded to it a few minutes ago. The current game is Secret of Mana. The current checkpoint as of today is to complete the game. This is the last one.
Oh, man.
And that is due by Sunday, September 5th. So we got 2 weeks as of this recording, less than that as of you listening. So check your calendar. yeah. And those that don't know, the RPG Club is a book club where we in the community all play along the same RPG, generally at the same spot. And we all stop and wait for everybody to catch up, you know, certain dates. It's like a book club, exactly like a book club. But that's it.
It's very popular. I do have to say that. It's becoming a very popular section of the show. So with that done, let's move on to some news.
Hear ye, gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
All right. It's only been a couple weeks since we did news, so there hasn't been that much, and it was kind of a slower week for news, just in comparison to, I guess, the last time we did news.
yeah.
But there was a couple cool things that happened. Well, cool is up for debate. But our first story here, I think Rich is going to be very excited about.
I'm ecstatic to start screaming.
So the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Anniversary Edition has been announced for next-gen consoles. Because, you know, we didn't have enough Skyrim going around. That's coming to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC on November 11th. So not that far from now. Did we not already have, like, a fancy edition of Skyrim?
Yeah, the special edition.
So this is, like, an even more special edition.
It is. And now if you have the special edition, you get upgraded to this edition. For free, I think.
That's nice.
Yes.
Let's see. Next-gen enhancements. There's one thing in particular that I'm excited to share with Rich, but let me go down the list here. I've got an ad in my way looking at this article. There is an extra storyline, I think. The Dawnguard. There is an add-on called the Hearthfire, which lets you land and build your own home from the ground up. So you can build your own house? I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. I'm trying to read the article and I can't because of this ad. There's a creation club that lets you have 500 unique pieces of content, including quests, dungeons, bosses, etc. There's a Dragonborn add-on, which lets you journey off the coast of Morrowind. That's cool. I didn't know you can go to like other areas from past Elder Scrolls games. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be a worthy upgrade for big Skyrim fans. I wish they would stop working on Skyrim because, you know, I'm sure people want their Elder Scrolls 6. But the coolest thing about this upgrade is they are adding fishing to it, which I know Rich is excited for.
When you told me that the other day, I got super pissed. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Seriously, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, okay, let's just make this game for the fifth time, I think. Yeah. What is it on? This game originally came out on 360 and PS3, correct? I believe?
I believe that's right.
Okay. Then to PS4 and Xbox One, and then to the computer, then to the Switch, now to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series One, Series X.
Yeah, and it also came to Switch, and I did notice that this version, the Switch wasn't listed there for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think the Switch can't handle that.
Okay, whatever. For those that aren't longtime listeners, Rich has many times complained about fishing and RPGs.
Seriously.
They all seem to require it, and it's never fun. But
there's no point. The world's ending, but let me stop and fish.
Are you a Skyrim fan, Rich?
Not really.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I tried it. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, I've never played it. I think I've watched somebody play it before. It's just not really for me, but what you going to do? But that's all there is to say about that.
Yeah. Okay, so this is actually, I'm really excited for this game. Tales of Arise demo launches ahead of release. There's some information out there regarding about the demo. So far, from what I've heard, there's some mixed feelings on it. There's a lot of positive about it. There's not too much people talking about the negative side of it. There will be some DLC costumes based on the in-house franchises. Let's see. There's some from Code Vein. There's some from the Idle Monster series. And then we've got something from Tekken 7. Let's see. I'm looking at some of these costumes and things like that. But Arise is starting to look like a very interesting game. And I have it pre-ordered. I'm very excited for it.
I thought I'd been hearing, based on the demo, some mixed things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of positive that I've seen from people that really love the series. Mm-hmm. But the mixed is, I mean, sometimes it's a little clunky, but it's a demo. So,
yeah,
there may be not too much to think of on it.
I know there's a couple people in our community that were planning on playing the demo, so maybe we'll have to hear back from them at some point.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's going to be a good game. The demo is out, so if you wanted to try it, go for it. And there's going to be some DLC.
I need to get better about playing demos of games I'm mildly interested in. I don't know what it is, but I never get around to playing demos.
Neither do I. I just buy them.
Yeah, and then never play them. But cool. If you want, I think, yeah, that's it's already launched, right? It's available now. So
should be. Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to try that out before the game. When does the game actually come out? Do we know?
September 9th.
Okay.
So in a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, you got a couple weeks to test the waters. All right, Rich added this one for me to talk about. Pokemon clone Nexomon launches for consoles. I don't know anything about Nexomon other than I've heard the name. So looking at this article, apparently the franchise first launched on mobile by publisher P-Cube, developer VUO Interactive. Steam release came last July, and it's basically just a Pokemon clone. What do you know about this, Rich?
It's a Pokemon clone. I have Nexomon Extinction.
Oh.
So I have that game. So this must be... I think this is the original.
Okay. Have you played Nexomon Extinction?
No, I just haven't. I got it on sale at one point, and it was a physical copy, so I just went and got it for like $15.
Makes me wonder how popular the series actually is. But, you know, I guess more Pokemon clones is never a bad thing, or is it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how Nintendo feels about that.
Maybe eventually somebody will do Pokemon very well, you know, and it'd be like an actually super, super fun game.
Maybe. I just put this on there for you because I figured you might like it.
Yeah. Okay, next.
So this is something for me. I really like this one. The Darksiders series is coming to the final game, which is Darksiders 3, is coming to the Switch. Have you ever played Darksiders? It fits on the realm of the RPG scale, I think.
Darksiders. Not to be confused with Darkstalkers, which I think is a fighting game. I don't know anything about Darksiders.
So it's basically the way it starts is like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. One of them accidentally starts the apocalypse.
Oh.
And demons and angels and stuff like that. And you're just fighting through all that. I have Darksiders 1, 2, and then Darksiders Genesis on my Switch. And I was like, I really like to play Darksiders 3 at some point when I get to that. And it sucks that it's not on the Switch. Now it is, with all of DLC. Now this should be launching for the Switch in like a month or... Oh, when is it releasing? September 30th. So in a month.
So this game, has it already come out on other platforms?
Correct. Or? It is. Okay. It was originally released in 2018 in November.
Gotcha. So the way this article is worded, final game, does that mean they're not going to make another one? Or
no, I think THQ Nordic does not work on the series anymore. Like after Darksiders Genesis, I think that's it. Because Darksiders Genesis came out like a year or so ago.
Hmm. Okay. Well, and you said you like the series?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's got interesting takes on it.
Hmm. Well, good for you then.
I just had to see it. I was like, oh, I'm excited.
Maybe I need to look into that myself.
I think it fits on the RPG scale.
I'll have to rate it.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Nope.
Okay, this one was really interesting to me. A new Shining Force game has been announced. The last time we got a Shining Force game was, I think, it was like 2009. Yeah, 2009 Shining Force Feather for Nintendo DS. And so I'm sure everybody would be super excited about this, except for it's a mobile game. Wah, wah, wah.
Yep.
What the heck?
Yeah, so this game is called Shining Force Heroes of Light and Darkness. And I think the reason it's so disappointing is because it's such a storied franchise. It's like Sega's Fire Emblem. You know, been around since the Dark Ages, and you don't get very games in this series very often. So it's just interesting to me. It's like, I guess these mobile games must just be so free money for the developers to revive a franchise like this in 2022 after this many years of not having a game.
Well, I have a thought about this.
Okay.
So recently, consoles were hard to get a hold of, correct?
True. True.
Okay. What if these developers are like, we can't, you know, people aren't getting a hold of these consoles. They're not selling them. What if we just release it on mobile because everybody has a cell phone?
That is a fair point.
I just thought about that. I just, you know, what if this is a strategy for them that maybe eventually this will come to consoles?
Well, maybe. Hopefully it's a good game. I've never played a Shining Force. I think I've watched somebody play one of the older Shining Forces on YouTube once upon a time. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about this, I think Deesa is a big fan of the franchise.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so.
It just sucks that it's on mobile. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this last time, but I don't even play Record Keeper on my phone anymore, which is a game that I played every day for like 4 years.
As you get older, your phone is like, oh, it's so awesome when you were younger. And when you get older, just like, I don't want to touch this thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, disappointing news be disappointing.
What the?
Oh, that's not the right job anymore. okay, so they did a Pokemon Presents showcase, which is like Nintendo Directs, but just Pokemon. Of course, we got new trailers for Diamond and Pearl and Legends Arceus, which we'll talk about in just a sec. The other thing that, big thing was they showed a couple mobile things, and I think they are adding a couple new Pokemon to Pokemon Unite. It's like, Mamoswine and Sylveon. Pokemon Unite seems to be really popular just from like my sphere of people. I've seen a lot of people playing it.
We should play it.
It's a MOBA though, which I've never played a MOBA.
You can figure it out. You're a smart guy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I've had a few people ask me to play Pokemon Unite with them. I'm like, no.
Do it.
But yeah, so not much there, but okay, we got to talk about the other Pokemon stuff. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Did you watch this trailer, Rich?
No, I did not. I missed that trailer. Okay. But I'm excited for these remakes.
Are you?
Yeah, because I want them. And I don't want to pay. I want them because I don't want to pay for the original ones, which are like stupid expensive now. Mm.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, I've heard DS games are super rare now, which is interesting. And 3DS is getting there. I am not excited for this game, these remakes at all. I never played Diamond and Pearl But I hate the art style that they went with for these remakes, like the chibi. It just seems
I'm not a fan of that.
Just seems super budget to me. Like they put in the least amount of effort possible as far as the visual design. The battles look okay as far as the graphics in those, but I don't understand why they didn't go with something more similar. If they wanted to do it cheaply, I don't understand why they didn't do something more similar to like Pokemon Let's Go, which still looks out. The art style on that is fine, even in the overworld. You don't look like a little TV person. But man, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade because I know there are a lot of people super excited about it. But it doesn't seem like the trailers, or from based on the trailer, it seems like they're adding too much. Like there was a new feature about being able to go to the underground, which you can then decorate your cave room with Pokemon statues, and that changes what Pokemon appear in the underground. I'm trying to remember what else was
shown. You change your clothes.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. But I did notice that it's like entire outfits that you change between. It's not like Sword and Shield where you choose like your hat and your gloves and your backpack individually, which seems also not cool. But I guess better than not having that feature at all. But yeah, that's really all I got about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. But what?
I was like, nope, I think I know what you're going to say. Yeah, go for
it. Okay, I'll transition you.
So, well, actually, you missed it. So that's okay. The new Switch Lite version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they are launching a new Switch Lite version in November 5th.
Yeah, I saw that.
It actually looks like the original 3DS one that they did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you want a new Switch Lite, there's a different version of that. Just like they did with Sword and Shield, I feel like this is going to become a trend. Yeah, they're going to release a Switch Lite version difference as opposed to the original Switches. Well, that's probably because that's too close to the new Switch OLED model that's coming out, I would think. But yeah, I feel like the next Pokemon game that does come out in, 2026 might have a new Switch version to it. So there's that. Follow-up news is the great new mystery game, Pokemon Legends Arceus, was finally more details revealed to it. So it's actually launching January 28, 2022. And I know you're excited about this, Scott, because it does look like a breed between Pokemon and Zelda Breath of the Wild.
This is kind of like what I've always wanted from Pokemon, kind of. You know, a console release that felt more like a big adventure. I wanted a full-scale game where it's different. Like, your goal isn't to win the Pokemon League and travel around to the 8 gyms and get your badges.
But I gotta be the best, Scott. I gotta be the best.
You'll be the best.
Okay.
And it still looks kind of questionable. Like the frame rate isn't great based on, it's not that much better than that first trailer we saw. But you get to roam around. You don't go into random battles. You see the Pokemon in the overworld. They can actually are aggressive towards you. They will attack you as a human character. When you go into battles, it's like a seamless transition, I think. You don't go to like a specific battle screen. It kind of looks like the battles are still turn-based once you actually deploy your Pokemon.
Okay.
You've got mounts. You can ride majestic deer. And my favorite part of the trailer, there's this big shark creature that you can ride. I'm not remembering its name right now, but
it's a Basculegion.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's one of the newer ones they talked about.
Yeah, so my favorite part of the trailer is when they were detailing Basculegion, and the announcer happily says, "This Pokemon evolves when a Basculin gets possessed by the souls of its other departed Basculins that died swimming upstream. The more souls that possess it, the stronger it is." It's like, okay.
This is really dark.
Classic Pokemon Dark Pokedex entry. And it looks like there's going to be an involved story. I still think there's a really strong chance that this game will end up being mediocre at best. I mean, it is Pokemon and Game Freak. But I'm excited. I'm probably going to pre-order this. Not even going to wait for reviews.
I already have it pre-ordered.
Oh, okay.
What's really interesting about it is, like you said, that you can take damage as a character, like your own person, which never been done before in other Pokemon.
You can do
like
dodge rolls.
Yeah. The Pokemon attack you. That's odd.
An Ursaring tried to maul the character in one shot.
So
that
yeah,
made me had of a nightmare because I had a nightmare the day after this trailer, and it was like a bear ate my friend's face off.
Wow. And you could craft.
Yeah.
Now, imagine though, there is also a fishing element to this game, I assume.
Well, I mean, fishing has been in Pokemon since Red and Blue, so.
I know.
So this world, as we know, is also like ancient Sinnoh. And apparently back then it was called Hisui or something like that. So we also got a couple new Hisuian forms. I'm probably saying that wrong, of Pokemon. I think Hisuian Growlithe took the internet by storm.
So cute.
Yeah. I want to know what Hisuian Arcanine's going to look like. I think that was trending on Twitter the other day where people were drawing like their own renditions of what they thought Hisuian Arcanine could be.
And I do love the fact that you can literally throw a Pokemon ball at one of their heads. Just chuck it right at them.
I mean, that thing is different. It's likely you don't need to... If the Pokemon's not super strong, you don't even need to weaken them first to catch them.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I don't know if there's too much else to say. I mean, we probably, if we really wanted to, could get a whole episode just out of talking about this game.
But yeah, we could.
I'm excited, and I think this is what... I wish Pokemon had done something like this a long time ago. But as we know, the Game Freak is... They don't really innovate on Pokemon too much from game to game. Probably because no matter what they do, it sells gangbusters.
Yeah, there's like, we don't need to.
Yeah.
They'll just buy it.
But we'll see how it turns out. I'm excited. Okay, so... Another thing that happened, Cyberpunk 2077. We haven't actually had a story about Cyberpunk 2077 in a while. But apparently patch, 1.3 was released.
Uh-huh.
And the amount of changes, upgrades, improvements is incredibly long. Like I'm scrolling here, looking at this list. I don't know if any like particular things that this patch does fix or in particular, and I'm not going to scroll through this giant list to pick something out, but I saw one comment on this. It's like, this patch list makes it so clear that this game was not ready for release when it came out.
I mean, Jesus, I'm scrolling through it still.
Yeah. Let's see. You do also get some free DLC, two new jackets for V, a new vehicle, and there apparently is an option to switch to Johnny at one point as the playable character, which is, you know, aka Keanu Reeves, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So with this big patch list, I'm wondering, is it time to go back and play the game again?
Might be.
Give the game another chance. I know Corey was super hyped for Cyberpunk before it released, along with many other people.
I know why he was super hyped for the game, though.
Because of the dong customers.
Yeah. I think everybody was, though, to be honest.
Yeah, it wasn't as robust as I was hoping, though. It's like,
yeah, me too.
Small, medium, large, or something like
that. Yeah, I was hoping for like a gigantic and, you know, just club somebody with it.
Womp womp. I think you can get a dildo as a weapon, though. And I'm misremembering that.
I think so.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Saints Row or something.
I don't know, but man, I'm still scrolling, by the way.
Yeah, it's incredible. I wish there was like a highlight list or like, here's the big things, but oh well. Go ahead and take a look at this for yourself. There's a ton of balance changes. There's a bunch of gameplay fixes, a bunch of bugs fixed, a bunch of NPC behavior. I think the that made Corey so mad was like, A, you could find an item that you're supposed to be able to pick up and then it wouldn't let you pick it up, stuff like that. And then there was also like a quest he was supposed to be able to accept, but when he went and talked to the person requesting the quest, they just didn't offer it or something like that. So I can see how that would be annoying. But yeah, if maybe time to take another look at Cyberpunk. At least they're still working hard on it.
Yeah. And I do see the very bottom of the patch notes. There's one that says, and many more.
Yeah.
So
this just scratches the surface.
Yeah. We jacked up here. We were not ready for this at all. And then this is what happens.
Womp womp. That's it for the news. So here's the RPGs that will have been released in the past week as of this episode's release. A Garden Story comes to Switch and PC on August 11th. That sounds like a life sim game to me.
I think you're right.
Boyfriend Dungeon comes to Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on August 11th. I've actually heard a lot of people talking about this game.
Hmm.
It's like a roguelite mixed with a dungeoneer or dating sim or something like that. There was also a controversy I heard about it, where apparently one of the main characters is kind of a stalker, and so that that triggered a lot of people. We could probably do a whole aftercast about that, but because they're like literally asking the developer to patch that character out, even though it's like core to the story. Anyway,
Hades
came to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, and Xbox One physically on August 13th, and Fantasian Part 2 came to Apple Arcade on August 13th. I know a lot of people are excited about that, too. Possibly the Gooch's final game.
Yep. We're really hoping that this game does release to like consoles and stuff, like past that Apple Arcade stuff. So, but
I think we talked about it with Bill on the episode last week, and he was like, I might buy an Apple TV just for this.
Yep.
All right, but what's coming this week?
So what's coming this week is King's Bounty 2 for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, August 24th. Black Geyser. Geyser?
Geyser, yeah.
Geyser. Geyser. We'll just call it Geyser, old person.
I'd go with Geyser.
Carriers of Darkness, PC entering early access, and Baldo, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, August 27th. We've kind of hit this lull of releases. We had a bunch of RPGs released last month. So I'm cutting in at a slow spot.
September is going to be huge, though. I don't know offhand, but I think all the games are scheduled to come out in September. So
back to school starts. School starts. Everybody gets all, depressed about school. So the video games come out. Make them happy.
Absolutely.
All right. So with the news out of the way, why don't we take a quick little break before we convene the fourth RPG club of Secret of Mana?
Nothing in this world can prepare you for this. You have been chosen by the Elder Gods as a representative of Earthrealm to record in the podcast of the century. Every season, the best podcasters from around the world are assembled to review, reminisce, and riff on a popular franchise. On the latest season of Podcasters Assemble. With the imminent release of the latest highly anticipated Mortal Kombat film, we're taking a look back at all the movies and games of the Mortal Kombat franchise. Choose your mic. Together, you will be facing off against a gauntlet of films. 1995's Mortal Kombat, 1997's Mortal Kombat Annihilation, 2020's Mortal Kombat Scorpion's Revenge, and finally, this year's release of Mortal Kombat in theaters and on HBO Max on Friday, April 23rd, 2021. Go to probablywork.com for more information on how to submit to this or future seasons of the show and listen to the latest episodes of Podcasters Assemble. Mortal Podcast!
All right, guys. It's time to convene for the RPG Club.
All right, everyone. Quiet down. All right. We're here today to bring to order the next session of the RPG Club. All in favor? All opposed? And looks like the ayes have it. Then let the RPG Club commence!
Okay.
All right. All right, you want me to do this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's do this, because this is the first time I've actually completed a checkpoint in a while.
I was going to say, it's not the first time.
Well, I did once when we first started, and then I just dropped the ball on the other two times. So I completed the checkpoint, which was to finish the Grand Palace. Scott, did you finish?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I actually finished the day we started this fourth segment, so.
You suck.
Well, I streamed it, and so it was a pretty good stream. So Corey was like, keep going. So I went all the way through in one sitting.
Hey, Yeah, I did it the very first checkpoint, so might as well you do it too.
Yeah, we're even now.
You didn't panic like I did this last section. I had to complete two other sections to get to here.
Yep. So this section had the Palace of Darkness, Gold City, the Test of Courage, or whatever the fuck that was called. Then we went to the Sunken Continent, and then finally the Grand Palace. What did you think about it, just in general?
So the overall section, I thought it was okay. It was a lot of bosses for some reason. I mean, it was just that I did not like the going back and forth on a couple things with the Lofty Mountains. You had to go this way, and then you got to go back to it because the sage wasn't there. And then you go back again, and the sage wasn't there still.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt.
Frost, if you're listening, do you know if you you have to go back to the mountain like two or three times to talk to the sage? Even, spoiler alert, it turns out that the sage's apprentice is the sage. But do you have to go back and talk to him to do the next story thing, or can you do it without having to ask him what's next? I'm not sure about that. Because I went back there like three times because the guide said to, but...
Yeah, that's what I did too.
Very loose. There was a lot of dungeons in this segment too, I felt like. Well, and bosses, like you said.
But, well, I mean, there's 11 bosses.
Yeah. But I didn't have trouble with any of them. Did you?
Nope.
Yeah.
God, no. My magic is so jacked.
Easy sauce.
Yeah.
I guess although I did get some PTSD triggered when Blue Spiky showed up, the blue tiger. I was like, no, not you.
But if you blast him with fire a lot, you just juggle that, you don't have any problems.
Yeah, it was like Spiky's baby sister that I was fighting or something.
It's like, oh, you're cute. I'm going to burn you.
Yeah. There was the shadow clone thing where you fought doppelgangers of your party, which I thought was cool. That was unexpected.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of nice. I mean, they were easy to beat. I figured once they got in there, I'm like, okay, are they going to match the strength that I have? Because that could be a problem. No, I pinned the boy into a corner.
Yeah.
I pushed baby in a corner.
Yeah, it wasn't super hard for sure. I think of all the bosses in this segment, they were probably the trickiest just because, you know, smaller moving targets, but still not really anything to worry about at all. I'm trying to look for other highlights here.
What about the story? Like, what are you feeling about the story so far?
It's fine. Really, there's nothing to it. It's still, I know they tried to do, so we did get the twist with, the Emperor being killed by Thanatos, which I saw coming from a mile away. I mean, we predicted from the beginning that, Thanatos was going to be the main villain overall and not just,
and I keep seeing his, yeah, and I see his name every time pop up, and I see Thanos.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. He has an awesome name. He definitely looks the most menacing of all the villains with the skull mask or whatever he's wearing.
It might as well just said, hey, might as well had a name tag on that says, hey, I'm actually the villain.
Yeah.
I will do these things.
I wanted to, with the Emperor, it's like, oh, you made a deal with Satan. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I think back to Final Fantasy 15. I know we talked about this. The Emperor was supposed to be a bad guy, but turned out, no.
I've actually, this is a pretty big tangent, but I've been reading that 15 novel, and it does talk a couple times about how the Emperor was actually a pretty good ruler until Arden showed up. So.
Yeah, because didn't he corrupt him with the power of the crystal by saying, like, if you get these things, you can rule all this stuff, and just kind of tainted him as time went on,
And
my knowledge.
He eternal life, basically, but he ended up casting some kind of spell on him, apparently,
and
made him evil. But anyway, that's a huge aside. What about the dungeons? Was there any particular dungeons that stood out to you? The Grand Palace took
really
a while to get through.
Yeah, that one did. At one point, though, at the very end, when you beat the, I can't remember if you beat the Snapdragon. Yeah, you beat the Snapdragon. I walked outside and took a wrong turn. I'm back right out the very beginning. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, it was kind of confusing in that way.
I almost went all the way back down to the bottom.
I've done that before.
And did a loop.
Not in this dungeon, but in this one, yeah. Frost was there most of the time when I was streaming, so I had a pretty good guide.
You had help.
Yeah. let's see. I don't really remember the Palace of Darkness that well. You do get to go to Tasnica in this section, which is Gemma's home kingdom, finally. And then there's like a subplot where like the king was possessed by the Shadow Stalker Ninja, which was easy, but... Or maybe
it took him out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and then he turned into like a normal villain after that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time tracking the various sub-villains, like the Emperor's henchmen or whatever. They just
show up.
Yeah, they show up. There's like Geshtar. There's like one or two others. And I'm like, oh, the bad guy of this very minute.
Yeah.
I guess we should remember the one that is the Mech Rider, since we had to fight him like four fucking times, but I don't.
I think he's done. I think there's no more of him.
Yeah.
I do have a complaint.
Okay.
About the game. There's been several times that there's been an animation done and my characters get stuck.
Oh.
Like in place and I can't get them to move. Like I've got them stuck in a wall before, going up Lofty Mountain, you know, after you do the whip thing and you leap over. There's been times that a monster has basically accidentally pushed me up into the wall and I'm stuck. I can't do anything.
Dude,
and that's happened several times.
One time the girl got like stuck in a wall and the only way I got out of it is I called Flammy. So I had to go back to where I was.
Yeah. So. In the dungeon in the Grand Palace,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. If there's some probably coding issue or something, like instead of, it's one where you do the whipping to leap over a chasm or little area to get to the next one to do the magic orb. If you turn your character to the left or it depends on which side you're on. If you turn to the left to look at the dark, basically look at the wall,
mm-hmm.
you can whip yourself over to that and then you're stuck on both sides. And the only way to get out of that, because at first I about freaked out because this was last night
mm-hmm.
and I was going to be super pissed.
Yeah,
you have to do the magic rope to pull yourself out.
Oh, well, I'm glad
that happened several times.
Every time I've actually wanted to use the magic rope, it was like, that doesn't work here for some reason.
Yeah. How are you running into that problem? I've never ran into that once.
I think
I'm just like, oh, dungeon, boop, I'm out.
I mean, I've only actually needed it three or four times. It just happened to be those three or four times. It was like, this is not available right now for some stupid reason.
Maybe you just got rope and you don't have magic rope.
Yeah. Another thing I didn't like about this section is you get, I think, your last four of eight magic elements in this section, like Dryad and Luna and Shade.
Yeah.
And it's like, god dang, I wish this would have been a little more spread out so I wouldn't have to go and grind all of these so much.
How much money do you have?
Oh, like an ungodly amount.
Okay.
How much do you have?
Over like 300,000.
Yeah. It's like, I think I have like 600, but I think that's just from grinding. I could be wrong about that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take very much to get the money and stuff. I know some of this equipment's expensive that's coming up the next section. I kind of read a little ahead. So yeah, I know I'm going to need it.
Oh, I didn't know that there was going to be more shops. I think
it should be.
I've been told there's only like two dungeons in this last section that were.
Oh, sweet.
We'll see. I think Brandon, he told me that it only took him 1.5 hours to get through, but also he grinded to level 70 first. So,
yeah, I saw that in the chat, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 56 or something currently. So hopefully it won't be too much because I would like to finish it today.
If you finish it today, you got to tell me
because
I'll be busy, you know, destroying stuff.
Remodeling.
Yes.
I still hate the animations of like whether or not your shit hits. It still seems like a crapshoot half the time to me.
Yeah. Overall, how do you feel about the game? Like, do you think it's a classic? Do you think a lot of people are overselling it?
I think when it came out, it was probably amazing. It's just hard to go back to now. I still don't love the game, but I'm like, I've made my peace with it. I'm okay with it. But yeah, I get why it's beloved, I guess. I just, if it wasn't for the the animations, the hitboxes and stuff I was just talking about, I would think it would be, I would call it a legitimately really good game.
Mm, okay.
What about you?
I mean, I like the art style. I like it. I do want to throw it out there. Did you notice in the Shadow Selves boss fight that you had that the boy was doing some moves from Chrono Trigger?
No, but that doesn't surprise me.
Like he's doing the blade spin. Like he was spinning in place. And it looked just like what Chrono did in Chrono Trigger.
Actually, I used a level 6 charge sword move earlier today. I was grinding because I was just waiting for the show to start, to start the show. And he did the same move where he just spins around like that. So, but I think like the director of Secret of Mana like literally went on to do Chrono Trigger or something like that.
Ah.
Maybe I'm thinking of Live Alive. I could be thinking of Live Alive. But do you use charge attacks a lot?
I don't know how to do it.
You don't know how? You
just I don't.
You just hold.
Apparently, I don't. I just been doing the attack button. How the hell are we doing it? Because you said that, and now I'm actually super pissed.
That's so funny. I don't know how you got past the early bosses.
I just hit things with a stick.
Yeah, you can also go into the AI menu of your party members and set how much you want them to charge their attacks before they use them, which is pretty handy.
Because I just know that bar that goes through, and then as soon as the bar hits 100, I hit them. That's it.
Yeah, once it hits 100, if you keep holding the button, it charges up, and then it goes up to the level of the weapon that you're equipped. Frost says, "Read the manual."
I'm gonna end the stream. I'm gonna go home, and I'm off the show.
You're already home, though.
I know. I just can't believe. I swear to God.
Frost also says, "Make sure you shop at Neko before you head to the Pure Lands. He's behind the Mana Palace." Okay, I already did that. So.
Okay.
That's where all the rich or the fancy equipment is. I guess that's why I was confused, because I did that at the end of my stream last time. And I just, when you said you heard there's more equipment, I was like, oh, there's even more somewhere. Okay.
No, so you're right. You're in the right spot. So so I hold the attack button when it charges to 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And okay. Usually you'll attack right then. And then it'll go back to 100%. But if you're holding the button after that attack, you know, it'll keep charging up. You move slowly while you're charging. But I think even if you get hit and interrupted, as long as you don't let go of the button, it keeps charging. So
I feel like pausing the show to go test this out, but that's fine.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I'm still going through the game just fine. It's like almost using, isn't somebody in the group chat or the Discord doing a no magic run on bosses?
I believe so. I think that's Ben C.
Yeah, so I'm doing it with a no charge attack run.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I didn't know.
but I'm excited to finish it up, see how it ends. And again, I think I've heard a tip. Make sure the boy's sword is leveled. Make sure Dryad is at least a little bit leveled. And try to have a variety of weapons charged or leveled decently with the boy, just in general. That's what I've heard. And I'm also excited about what the next RPG Club game will be. So
I know we get to the end of this and we're like, okay, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
We're just excited. We don't even care about this game we're playing. What's next?
We should just rename the podcast the RPG Club show or something. Anyway, we got a little bit of listener feedback here. I'll kick us off. Frost, who we are talking about a lot today, says, "It definitely feels like the section of the game was hit the hardest by the fact that it was originally being developed for the doomed SNES disk drive system." I did not know that. That'll be interesting to read more about when we do the
review.
Didn't
know about
that. That aside, I do enjoy the Underground City and the Grand Palace very much. And flying around the world in Mode 7 was really cool back in the day. I did eventually get, this is Scott talking now, I did get used to the flammy flying, and I think I do agree. It's pretty cool. And just as long as you can figure out where the hell you are on the map.
Yeah.
He goes on, "Story-wise, the Emperor makes a deal with the Underworld and is double-crossed." Shocking, I know. Yep. "We now have weapons ranging from level 6 to 8, and some of the high charge rate animations are really cool." See, this is Scott talking.
I would know.
Yeah, apparently. I never charge it that high, though, because it takes so long. So I need to experiment with that, I guess. Also, if you bother to level your magic to 8, there is a chance for a new animation. Didn't know that either. Anyway, the story is finally picking up. Is it, Frost? Is it? The Pure Lands await. Will we charge our mana sword in time? What if this game has a bad ending, Rich? It's like everybody's doomed. Talking about music, he says the overall music changes twice, once when the sunken temple rises, and then again after the mana fortress is activated. I did notice that myself. I like the new world map music, but I wonder why they made a track just for that short interval in the story. That's kind of weird. He says, the Dark Star is, I think, my favorite from this section. I feel like Frost mentions this just to, like, politely hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, use this in the episode. So we'll be hearing that in a second.
Yep, probably does.
Yeah.
ROB says, I have to say my favorite part of the section was watching Scott play it on stream, as it made me feel like I was playing. Also, I barely touched the section, but damn it, I will beat this game on time for the club. That is right, ROB, just like me. You know, trying to power through this game.
Yep. Thanks for the free advertisement there, ROB. Yeah. For those listening, I will be streaming shortly after this episode, after we're done recording. And then finally, Brandon, he already beat it on accident because he thought we were in the last section for some reason. he said, I beat it a while ago, so I'll just say my feedback is that I'm thankful I used a guide and grinded lots. Lol.
He grinded a 70, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's the one that did that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all the feedback we got for that. But yeah, I guess we can adjourn the club.
Yeah. Guys, so with that done, another RPG club book is done. Segment is in the book. Scott, what are we doing next week?
Well, there is no we, because it'll be me and Bill next week.
Again.
We're going to be starting the review of Disgaea 1, probably talking about the development history and the story. That was a patron-hasted game, I believe, by Generic Fighter that Bill and I suffered through. Maybe that's a bit of a spoiler, but I did not like it.
Those games are hard.
Yeah, that'll be, we're going to record that Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time for those that want to catch us on Twitch.
Awesome. So just like you heard, the RPG Club is, the current game is Secret of Mana. The checkpoint is complete the Grand Palace, complete the game.
Yes.
Complete the game. So
we'll be finishing it up. August 5th. So yep. September 5th. Wow.
Yep. I thought I'd collect that one already.
Yeah. So you want to launch into the plugs?
Yeah, let's do the plugs. We like him. So plugs. Rate and review us on any of your podcasting apps that you use. Mostly it's iTunes nowadays. A lot of the other app stores don't have reviews sections. Mm-hmm. If you do that, it helps us get our algorithm up, helps that so the show gets seen more and grows our community and all sorts of great stuff. So it helps us understand how we're doing as a show and so we can improve on.
Yep. And another way to help the show is to check out our Patreon. Lots of cool benefits out there. You get early episode access. The episodes are ad-free. There's lots of extra reviews out there for non-RPGs. There's over 20, and I think we're going to try to get back to doing more of those soon. We got the aftercast, which is like bonus episodes. Rich and I have talked about it off air. We're kind of going to revamp how the aftercast works. So look forward to that in the coming days. Hopefully we'll be able to record one next time we get together.
Yes.
And also you get to participate in the nominations and voting for the RPG club, help determine what game gets selected for the club. And that'll be coming up before too long. So you might want to throw your hat in the ring now. Lots more cool benefits. Patreon.com/RPG After Years.
Twitch. We do stream the show live generally every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern, except when we have the reviews with Bill, which happens to be sometimes on Fridays. You can find the show at twitch.tv/RPG After Years. Come join the conversations and see us live and our beautiful faces.
Also, I stream at twitch.tv/the_Scott_spot. You can watch me play Secret of Mana today. We also have a merch store. You can get awesome, all kinds of cool merch, turvises, mugs, shirts. Get our album art on your wall like I do.
Yeah.
That's at redbubble.com/people/RPG After Years/explore.
Nice. We also have an email that if you'd like to email the show and send us discussion ideas, topics, things like that, tell us how we're doing, things that you think that we can improve on. You can definitely do that rpgafteryears@gmail.com.
We have a Discord if you want to hang out with us and all our cool community. We talk about Secret of Mana over there. Lots of talk about Final Fantasy, and all kinds of random shit, too. We talked about Pokemon for a while, debated on how cool this new Pokemon Legends Arceus really is. Bill was pissing me off in there because he was saying, looks the same to me. I'm like, what? Did you watch a different trailer? Like, are you sure you were watching the same thing I did?
You can't trust his opinions on some of that stuff.
No.
He doesn't know. He doesn't like it because it's not a Pokemon game that's based on his culture.
He didn't like Sword and Shield either.
I know. That's weird.
So you can find the link to that in our show notes or our pinned tweet on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, you can find the show at RPG Years, and you can find me in particular at the Scott Spot.
You find me at HailBlue1569.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's it for episode 76. The end is in sight for Secret of Mana. I'm very excited for that closure and to see what the next game will be in store for us. Again, next week, Scott and Bill will be reviewing Disgaea 1. But until then, I'm Rich.
And I'm Scott.
Bye.
I wonder if we ever will find out the secret of Mana.
What's the secret?
What is the secret?
Yeah.